At the end of the first parak of Soita, the Gemara quotes Rav Tamloi, who said, "Hatoira tchilasa chesed v'soifa chesed." The Torah begins with chesed and ends with chesed. The beginning of chesed is the pasuk which tells us that after Adam Harishon had sinned, Vayas Hashem Elokim la'Adam lishtoi kosnos oir v'yalbishein. He made them some warm clothing before he drove them out of Gan Eden. That is the chesed at the beginning. At the end, Vayikbar Oisai HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoido be'atzmai, he buried Moshe Rabbeinu. That is chesed shelemes. So the Torah begins and ends with chesed. I should like to paraphrase Rabbi Tamloi and say, HaTorah tchilasa chinuch v'soifa chinuch. The Torah begins with the importance of chinuch and ends on that self same note. The second pasuk in the Torah tells us, v'choshach al p'nei sahayim. It was darkness. And the Midrash Rabbah tells us this is a reference to the Yavonim. The period before the Nes of Hanukkah was a period of choshach, darkness. The Yavonim came to Eretz Yisrael. Their aim was to extinguish the light of Torah and replace it with their type of light, which we consider to be choshach. And the Medrash rather continues. They said, "Amru liYisrael, kislu lochem al keren hashoer." You have to write on the horn of the ox, "Ein lonu chelek belokei Yisrael." We have no share in the God of Yisrael. A very, very strange piece of Midrash. If I want to convince people that a certain plan is the way I think it is, I would tell them, advertise it, put it on the walls of your houses, the front door of your house, and the door of the Beis HaMedrash, the gates of the city. You know how advertisers work today. Al Keren HaShoer, I don't think the Shoer will stand still long enough for you to write Ein Lonu Chelek. And if the Shoer gets a bit stroppy, you might find his horns inside your stomach. Not a seemingly good idea. And I was puzzled with this medrash until I was zoicha to hear from Rav Leib Gurevich Olav HaSholem, the Rosh Hashiva in Gateshead in my time, the following pshat. He told us that it was Bein HaZmanim and he went to a museum, and in this museum he found a display cabinet full of shofros. So he thought, hey, what's this? Show you first. And he had a look at the label, old fashioned baby's bottles. In the bad old times before the discovery of rubber, if a woman could not feed her child naturally and there was no wet nurse available, she would take a Keren HaShoer, a dead one by now, and drill a tiny hole in the sharp end, put milk in the bigger end, and the cushy, the difficulty, the baby would suck that, it would survive. That is the pshat kisvu lachem al keren hashoer. The Gemara tells us that the Yavonim tried to re-educate the adult of Klal Yisrael. Not a chance. A Yid who is used to living like a Yid will give his life for Yiddishkeit. There's no, well, there are a few traitors here and there, but in general, a Yid who's been living like a Yid for the whole of his adult life, he's not going to change to Greek philosophy, Olympic games, and debating society, all his Narishkeit, and give up the life of a Yid, Kola, Toyra, Kola. Nah, he'd rather die, be tortured. They, Yavonim, saw nothing doing. So what did they say? They have to start a new strategy. we have to start with the children. Now this is the baby's feeding bottle, and if you write on the baby's feeding bottle Ein lonu chelek v'lekei Yisrael, and you actually train the children, Ein lonu chelek, we are now the new Greek society, then they've got a chance. Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Yisraelim didn't allow them to fulfill their Abba. The idea of chinuch is in this very first medrash, which says choshech al pnei ha'tayim kis v'ruchem al keren ha'shoyer. That was the Yavamim. Incidentally, Rav Leib Gurevitz just told us that he saw this in the museum. There was no need for that. It's an awfully gemara at the end of Perek Mameh Madlikim, that if you have a yosayim, he has no mother to feed him, then you use the keren ha'shoyer as a feeding bottle. That is Chilos HaChinuch. And what's the Torah's Sofer Chinuch? When Moshe Rabbeinu gave his brachas to the Shavotim, Ol Osher Omar Boruch Mibonim Osher Yehi Ratzui Echov, he will do things which satisfy his brothers. Now what did he do to satisfy his brothers? So Rashi tells us it means that the daughters of Osher were married to Kohanim Gedolim. So the question is, why more the daughters of Osher than any other Shevet? The answer must be that in Shevet Osher they had the ability, the technique, to train their daughters to have a desire of Kedusha and Tahara, in order they should be fit to marry the Kohen Gadol. And because they were mechanech their daughters a little time before Sabra Shnira and Tabez Yaakov, they were zoicha to have sons-in-law Kohanim Yehuda Tsui. It was a rotzai of the Kohanim Gedolim to marry a woman who would fit in with their Kedusha and Tahara and Avoida, and that skill and that ability was with the Shevet Osher. There is a very strange Mishnah in Menachos, that Pevov Ahumad Aleph. It's all about Hanukkah. Shloisha Zeisim Hei. There are three grades of olive. Ubehen Shloisha Shloisha Shemonim. And in each grade, you produce three different subgrades of oil. The first crop of olives you pick from the very top of the tree, the koisesh, then you crush them, minois and the soichatzal, put them into a basket. The Yehuda Omer, no, sviboisatzal, around the basket, not in. Zerishin, that's the first crop. Choza v'toyen v'koyra, then you put a heavy plank on these olives. The Budaima Bavonim. No, not wood, stones. The Sheni. That's the second oil to come out. Choza the Tochan. Then you put them through the mill. The Shlishi. See, now you have three different types of oil from these top quality olives. Horishon Limnoira, the Hashar Limnochis. The first grade is from the Noira, other grades 2 and 3 from the Nochus. Then the mission goes on. Hasheni Megargaroi Beroish Hagag. Then you take a second crop of olives, which are level with the rooftops, because the first, which grow on top, are above the rooftops. But for the second lot, you can stand on your flat rooftop and pick the olives. And the Mishnah goes through the whole Seder once again. Is it stone? Is it wood? Is it around? Is it inside? And then the same conclusion. Horishon is for the Menorah. The rest is for Menachos. Then the Mishnah goes on the third one and tells the whole thing all over again. Which I found very strange. Unfortunately, now we have no Beis HaMikdash. When the Mishnah was written, there was no Beis HaMikdash. why go into such great minute detail? I would like to see in the Mishnah some more about everyday things. Tefillin. How much is there about tefillin in the Shishan Sefer Mishnah? Very little. Tzitzis. Sefer Torah. I can't recollect anywhere in Shishan Sefer Mishnah where you've got a din of a Sefer Torah. But there he is supposed to write or have his own Sefer Torah. Chanukah. Is there anything in the Mishnah about Chanukah? No. The reason, of course, is obvious, said the Chassam Sofer, because the editor of the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Hanossi, he was a direct descendant from Hillel, who was a descendant from David HaMelech, and he was brogus with a Chashmonaim, who were Koyanim, who took over the Malchus from his family. So Chanukah is mentioned a couple of times in Shishat of the Mishnah, only a Gavurcha. The Halacha, Hilchos Chanukah, no. So why did Rav Yehuda Hanossi give so much attention to a mitzvah which is not knowing at all? And the next Mishnah says, Horishoin Shabarishin Ein Lemalo Himeno. A1, that's the tops. Hasheni Shabarishin, the second pressing from the first grade, the Horishin Shabarishini, and the first from the second, Shovin, are the same. Hashlishi Shabarishin, the third pressing from number A, the Hasheni Shabashani and number 2 of B, the Horishin Shabashlishi, Shovin. And so the Mishnah goes on with halachas which seemingly have no importance to us today. But I heard, at first I didn't know who said this was, but later I heard it attributed to Rav Zendel Michael Olav HaSholom, who was in the gate of Kollel when I was in Yeshiva. He said like this: the Mishnah is difficult. You've got A2. The oil quality of A2 is the same as B1, and it's superior to C1. Yet A2 is possible, but B1 is kosher. C1 is inferior, still kosher. It's always the first of whatever quality is kosher, the rest is possible. It doesn't make sense. A2 is superior to C1, and the superior is possible, and the inferior is kosher. What sense does it make? So he said, here, the Torah HaKdosha, the Mishnah, is telling us one of the most important principles of Chinuch, and that is this. What you achieve is unimportant. What is important is the effort. If it's the best you can do, that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. Now, the best in Group C doesn't come to second best of A. But in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, C1 is a kosher for the menorah. That's the menorah, the light of the Torah. It's kosher. But A2, which is superior, is possible, because it's not the best. A could have done better, and although he does better than C, it is possible. For the Ribbono Shel Olam, in Chinuch, everything depends on our doing our best. Whether you belong to Group A, or Group B, or Group C, it does not matter. What matters is the effort you put into your learning. And remember, I told a certain headmaster that I did not approve of what he was doing in his school. I happened to be in a school, and I walked into a classroom. It was the end of term, and there was a notice stuck to the wall: exam results. Now, I said to this headmaster, look, I know that you have to have exams at the end of the term. Well, what does exams tell you? It tells you who's got a better cop. So what? But does it tell you who makes the best effort? And here you're putting it on the wall to show that Reuben with 95 out of 100, oh, he's our star pupil, and Shimon at the bottom with 32, no good. How do you know? Maybe Shimon with a 32 tried better, made a better effort than the one who got the top. So to display something which is anti-chinuch in a chinuch classroom is totally wrong. That is the limud of the menorah of Hanukkah. Now, when we talk of chinuch, we usually refer to the words addressed by teachers to students, parents to their children, and that sort of thing. It's true, there is such a concept in chinuch. But this week's Sedra teaches us something else about chinuch. Yosef was told to run out of prison, get changed, have your hair cut, and appear before Pharaoh. And Rabbi Sai, I don't have to give you the details of the story, you know it all. And at the end of Yosef interpreting the two dreams, which are really one, Pharaoh turns round to all his chachomim and says, "Hanim tovoveh ish asher ruach elokim boi." Which is very strange. Who did Pharaoh ask to interpret his dreams? Chartumim, necromancers, black magicians. Kishuf was rife in Mitzrayim. Everybody knows that when Aaron threw down his stick, they also threw down stick and seemed to turn into snakes. Aaron produced dam out of water. Oh, we can also do the same. Are you hauling coal to Newcastle? Said a Paroi to Moshe. What's going on here? You've got to teach and impress us with Kishuf. We are better than you. Machashvin, Tumah, and this man, who is the head of all the Machashvin and all the Tameim, turns on Hanim to Ish Asher Ruach Elohim. Tell me, Rabbi said, who is this Elohim here? Does Paray suddenly give on about Tshuva, recognize the Boi Nishalom? Well, obviously, yes, he does, he said so. But how? What's happened? I do not recall learning anywhere that Yosef gave them a Musad Rosha about Imunah and Bitochon and Yichud HaBoira. All he did was explain the dream. Ah, but that's not true. He did more than that. He had all these Chachomim there, this Chartumim. He wiped the floor with them. He said, or made out, that they're a load of rubbish, bunkers, seven daughters, seven more than the Ganser Narishkarit. Did he, for one moment, actually wipe the floor with them? Did he say a single word against them? Did he say to Paroi, I think you'd better appoint me as your advisor because of the famine and the years of plenty? Did he say, now look, these lot there are stupid, I am the Chacham? He could have said that. They knew nothing, he knew it all. Did he boast? No, he said, Horekim Yahaneh Shelayim Paroi. There's a boy in heaven, he'll see to it. Me, they'll all die. Nothing, I'm nothing. When these Oizei Avodah Zarah, the believers in black magic, they meet a man on the Madrega of Yosef, a Baal Midas like Yosef HaTzadik, Baal Korcho Yahaneh Omei, they have to say there's a God in Himu. If not, where does this man come from? Our Avodah Zarah society produces Ganovim, Gazlomim, Shakronim, Baalei Gaiva, Chemdas HaMomon, Chemdas HaKovod. That's what our Chachomim and Machashvim and whatever they are aspire to. Here's a man who wipes the floor with a lot and he thinks nothing of himself. If you meet a person like Yosef, then you'll have to say there's a God in heaven. You can't help it. You're forced to it. Involuntary. And the same exactly is the answer to the problem of Lavan and Bisur. They said, Mehashem Yotza Hadoro. They recognize the Hashkocha prophet of the Boyne Shalom. Hold on a minute. What did Lavan say? Onoichi Penisi Habayis. I've cleared the house out of all the Avodah Zarah. So what is he? He's a Yid, a Shomer Torah Mitzvah to Mamon. No, over the Avodah Zarah. And Lomogun after Sarahoyu says to Yak, why do you pinch my God? He wasn't a Mamon before, he wasn't a Mamon after. He stuck to his old Avodah Zarah trait. But when you meet a man like Eliezer, then you say, May Hashem Yotadol. You can't help it. We Avodah Zoraniks don't produce people of Eliezer's caliber, nor of Yosef's caliber. And that is the lesson number one in Chinuch. Of course, you have to tell your children, this you do, this you don't do, you don't say this, you do say that. But the Ikka is to be a role model. That is the Ikka Chinuch. Parents and Rebbes must realize that from the very youngest age, children aren't as innocent as they appear to be. They watch you. They observe. And as soon as they find something which doesn't fit in with what you've been telling them, they know that you are a hypocrite. There's this famous story about this very frum man who before Pesach wanted to impress his children. Now you do Bedikas Chometz. So he took out every single volume of his shach and started dusting it. So the child said, Daddy, what are you doing? In case there's a crumb inside. He says, Daddy, I don't remember ever seeing you open any of these for it. How could there be any crumbs inside? We say Shabbos afternoon, Techitzim b'yad ha-gibor kein b'nei ha-ne'ure. Like the arrows in the hands of the warrior, so are b'nei ha-ne'ure, the years of youth. Now what is the shaykhus between chitzim, archers, and the b'nei ha-ne'ure? The answer to the Ruchonon Vataman is this. I've often driven from Golders Green to Stamford Hill at a time when there are archers active in one of those fields next to Bishop's Avenue. And when I'm driving, I don't watch. But it's dangerous. But I can tell you what goes on there. They stand about 70 or 80 meters from a target. The target's got rings. And the archer will tell you, I am aiming for the bullseye in the middle. Now if you stop and watch, you will see that he's not telling you the truth. He's not aiming for the bullseye. He's shooting into the sky. Why does he do that? He is aiming for the bullseye. But there is something called gravity. Gravity pulls things down. If he'd aim straight at the bullseye, gravity would make the arrow go into the grass. However, if he aims high, gravity might, if he's skilled, pull the arrow down and hit the bullseye. Says the Chonon, that is one of the secrets of Chinuch. You've got to aim high, because there is a force called gravity. In other words, the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara pulls down. He does everything in his power to diminish your efforts. However hard you try, the Yetzer Hara will pull them down. So if you aim at the target, you will fall short. If you aim high, then you might hit the target. When I was engaged in Yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva was Rav Landinsky on the Lashon. And the story goes, I can't guarantee it's true, but the story goes like this. The Manchester Yeshiva was established quite a time before Gateshead. But somehow Gateshead seemed to produce greater Talmid Chachomet. So the story goes, the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, I still remember the birth, the Moshe Yitzchak Olav HaShalom, the father of Yudin, said to Rav Nachman Novitz, how come your Talmidim are better than mine? So he said like this, what do you aim?
you aim to produce Erecha Balabatim Bnei Torah, who can learn a Daf Gemara. That's your aim. In those days, Rabbonim were not in fashion. He said, I don't do that. I want every one of my Talmidim to be a Rosh Yeshiva or a Rav at least. So he said, that's the difference. You aim at a target, but the Yetzer Hara pulls you down. I aim very high. If I aim very high, I, with luck, I'll produce some learned Balabatim. Now we began off by talking about the feeding bottles. Now feeding bottles, in those days anyway, were used only when there wasn't a wet nurse available. But if there was, one would use a wet nurse. Now, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that if it's at all avoidable, don't use a non-Jewish wet nurse. Because the child takes in milk produced by macholos asurais, and this is spiritual poison. How do we know that? We learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Bisyot bas paroi had this baby. She needed a nurse, and of course, being Egyptian, she brought the baby to Egyptian wet nurses. Nothing to him. He would not take milk from them. Why not? He was destined to speak to the Shekhinah, and the mouth who speaks to the Shekhinah cannot be contaminated with Kol of Nochli. So therefore, in our Shulchan Aruch it says, if it's at all avoidable, don't let your baby have Kol of Nochli. So the Yaakov Nevsky asks a simple kasha. He says, yes, that was Moshe Rabbeinu, offered the Dabe B'Shechinah. But our children today, are you going to tell me it offered the Dabe B'Shechinah? No, I guarantee you, no. So why should we today practice a halacha from the Shulchan Aruch this very day, for something which happened 3,500 years ago, when Moshe Rabbeinu was also the Dabe B'Shechinah? Says Rabbi Yaakov, Elomai is a raya, that we must train our children to be fit the Dabe B'Shechinah. That must be our aim in Chinuch. It's probably true to say that it's a bit doubtful when you get there, but that doesn't matter. Your duty as a parent, as a mechanech, your duty is to train and produce a child, be mechanech a child, that he should be offered l'dabe b'shechinah. That's our task. If we don't get there, we don't get there, but that's not important. The important thing, as we said at the very beginning, is to do our very best. I wish you all good Hanukkah.